and watch our live stream on Facebook. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
The weather forecast for the Huntington County area begins today with sunny skies and a high near 81. West winds between 6 and 8 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly clear with a low around 58. Light and variable winds. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 83. Calm winds will become southwesterly around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Saturday evening, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., then a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy skies, and a low around 60. Calm winds with a chance of precipitation at 30%. Sunday, a slight chance of showers before 8 a.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., then showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Partly sunny skies and a high near 80. Calm winds will become southwesterly between 5 and 8 miles per hour in the morning. The chance of precipitation is 60%. Sunday evening, showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m., and a slight chance of showers after 2 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies with a low around 53, and the chance of precipitation is 60%. Start your work week on Monday with sunny skies and a high near 69.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
And welcome to Hands Across Huntington, Huntington Helpline's radio show here Friday mornings between 10 and 11. I'm Susan Lax, Executive Director and host of the show for every Friday morning here on the Huntington County Chamber Internet radio station, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Huntington Helpline is celebrating its 50th year. And we have been your first call for help over those five decades. 908-782-4357. Any need at any time. 908-782-4357. And our guests today, this is going to be an incredibly robust conversation about legal matters. We have not one, but two guests from Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, an organization that does absolutely incredible work for people in need of legal services who otherwise can't afford them. And these two wonderful attorneys have worked with Helpline over the years, as well as many of the other nonprofits in our area, helping clients, like I said, with their legal issues. Welcome today, Elisa Grossman. She is the managing attorney of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, and Shefali Saxena, who is the staff attorney of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey. Welcome.
Good morning, Susan. Great to be here.
I'm so glad you guys are here. Seriously, I mean, I think how often do we talk, Shefali?
At least once a week, probably.
Absolutely. And that's a really great collaboration because when we have clients at Helpline, first of all, Helpline is sort of that umbrella organization. They give us a call about any need. We have to discern, well, what is really the need and what is that holistic solution? And oftentimes legal services obviously are part of it. But it's great to be able to collaborate with organizations and work together for the benefit of that client. So, Elisa, you've been around for a long time with this organization.
Yes, I have.
A long time. So tell us, seriously, when people hear legal services, and very specifically of Northwest Jersey, what exactly is that? What are you providing? What is the locale that you're serving? And we should probably talk about eligibility as well.
Right. Exactly. Well, I've been with Legal Services of Northwest Jersey since 2002. Just a little bit about myself. Prior to that, I worked at Essex Newark Legal Services for about 9.5 years.
A little different environment.
A little different environment going from urban, very urban communities to more sprawling rural type communities. But Legal Services of Northwest Jersey is comprised of 5 offices in 5 counties. That's Morris, Sussex, Somerset, Warren, and Hunterdon. So it's 5 offices, and what we do is we provide free legal services or assistance to low-income folks that live in those 5 counties. I could explain a little bit about eligibility, but do you have any questions about what I just said?
Other than the fact that it's kind of overwhelming, that is a broad geographic area. And I know, you know, through Helpline, and also we serve Somerset County as well, the need is great. So your caseloads must be packed. I mean, just absolutely packed.
There is definitely a need out there, and we see that every day.
Right. So we do have offices in each one of those 5 counties. In Hunterdon, we have 2 attorneys, but we can access the assistance of these other attorneys if we can't. We have another case that day. We can reach out to an attorney in Somerville and say, can you help us out? But the need is greater than we can fulfill, and that's been the story of legal services for as long as it's been in existence in New Jersey. We have a multitude of grants from the federal government, from the state, local organizations. I think we have over 20 grants. And even with that, sometimes we just can't meet the need of everybody who needs us.
And I know, again, with the calls that come in for us when somebody needs legal services, or any service for that matter, whether it's financial assistance or what have you, we are nonprofits, and as you say, so reliant on the grants, the fundraising, the donations, both corporate and individual, it's hard sometimes to turn somebody away or keep somebody on that waiting list. But particularly, I think, with a legal matter where, for instance, somebody is about to be evicted next month and they have 30 days to get something in place to avoid that. So how do you juggle all of that when the calls come in? Is it about eligibility? How do you prioritize?
Yeah, well, we don't keep a waiting list for the very reason that a lot of our cases are urgent and imminent. So Shefali, who handles our tenancy cases and does a great job of it, those come in very quickly. And we do domestic violence work, and those could be a very short time where somebody comes in on a Monday and their hearing is Thursday. So what we do is they are screened for eligibility, which is resources and income. We have, as I said before, we have a lot of different grants, so it depends on where you fit into one of those grants. For some folks, like seniors, we have a Title III grant where there is no income limit, but rather we have to look to see if it's a vulnerable adult. So folks call in and they get screened for eligibility because we do have income eligibility. And just by way of an example, we're at 250% of poverty right now. So somebody comes in and they have a household of 1. Let's say Joe comes in, he's being evicted, and his income is, well, basically the gross weekly income for 1 person is about $600. So it's $600, $605. So if somebody comes in and, they could either walk into the office or they can call, and we have intake folks going all day to answer the phones. So, and we try to expedite it. If we know somebody calls with a complaint, they get first priority.
So if you look on the website, and of course the work that we have done with you, You're looking at shelter and housing, income and access, assets for self-sufficiency, family relationship, personal safety. What are the things that stand out when you're saying, really, it's not about the topic so much, but the urgency, that you have to rise to the occasion for that person's urgency? So does the need or the topic or whatever you might want to call it play into that? For instance, let's talk about domestic violence, obviously, if they have a hearing. But what if somebody's getting locked out of their apartment at the same time that how do you really manage that? I mean, it's incredible when I see you guys in action that you are, in fact, spinning those plates and giving the utmost attention to the clients. But I do know that these calls come in, and they come in frequently. So how do you look at something and say, okay, this is, we got to take this one right now? Who is that person?
Well, there are priorities that we have. So every year every 3 months, we look and say, what are our priorities for the office? And clearly things like securing affordable, safe housing is a top priority. So, or domestic violence is a top priority. So those are the things that we look at. And again, when the calls come in, we prioritize those people who have hearings. So we try to get them to an attorney as soon as possible. I mean, Shefali can speak to, like, somebody has a eviction scheduled and she may only have 24 hours to prepare for the hearing, which, you know, could be rather stressful.
I would think.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I've come to get used to that. I mean, unfortunately, you know, these are things that they call summary proceedings. So, you know, the law just requires a 10-day notice before your court date. So by the time our clients check their mail, figure out what's going on, get in touch with us, make an appointment. And the same thing with domestic violence. It's also a summary proceeding. You know, we really only have a couple days sometimes to prepare. Sometimes we get lucky in the way the scheduling works out. We have more time. But so it's kind of part and parcel of the nature of this business. We expect sometimes that there's going to be a short turnaround. But really, it's kind of balancing, like, can I actually help this person? Does this case have merit? And then you balance that against the urgency. And if there's something we can do for them, then, you know, absolutely, we will take a case even with a couple days notice, because, like I said, we're balancing the urgency of the need. But there's actually something I can do to either help this person get more time or get the whole case dismissed if that's what the case requires. So, you know, it really involves, like, once they pass through that initial priority screening, you know, then it's up to the attorney's discretion to say, look, this is actually a really important issue, and you know, it's urgent, and this involves basic necessities. Somebody's going to lose their shelter. Someone might lose custody of their child. Someone is in imminent danger if they're in the house with the abuser. You know, these are all the questions that come up in our minds. So that's what helps us evaluate not just whether to take the case, but how quickly to act, you know, again, like once that initial screening is done.
So the person that knows it's coming is, contacts you ahead of time, that's a luxury for you time-wise.
Yes, definitely.
On the other hand, it may not move them to the top of the list because the next day somebody's about to go.
Who's even more urgent.
Exactly, yes, and exactly. Go to court.
Yeah, so it's that constant triaging, I think, every day. You know, we do have many systems in place to organize our files and dates, and we have, of course, like, you know, we have schedules and we look at all of our deadlines, but often a wrench is thrown into that on a daily basis, as I'm sure Elisa,
hey,
she gets
absolutely.
The facts and, oh, there's a new DV hearing this day, and look, it's a case with a lot of merit, then, you know, that might kind of supplant another thing that we plan to do. So,
well, we're going to take a short break. I have like tons of questions, absolutely tons of questions. And I'm sure our listeners do as well. So we'll be right back with Elisa and Shefali after these commercial breaks.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And you're back listening to Hands Across Hunterdon. Hunterdon Helpline, your first call for help. And the host of the show, I'm Susan Lax. And if you're just tuning in, we have Elisa Grossman and Shefali Saxena with Legal Services of Northwest New Jersey. And we have been talking about the services of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey. Fascinating how you have to prioritize those cases because of the urgency that that person is facing. And I just want to give out, first of all, the phone number, if you've been listening, 908-782-7979. 4,000 cases in 2018. You helped more than 8,000 people, 2,500 children. We tend to forget that children are involved. We tend to forget we see the victim and we don't realize that that victim is a family. And that's pretty amazing when you're trying to juggle these cases. And one of the things you said, Shefali, is if somebody gets a notice 10 days earlier, you know, I have folks that may have a post office box, may not pick up their mail, may find the notice, and we gotten these calls. Oh my gosh, I went to the mailbox today and I have to appear in court tomorrow. That's a lot of running around, and I know that both of you are exceptionally experienced with this, particularly when you look at the stats of how many cases go through this office. And I realize you all didn't personally do the 4,000 cases, the other part about this is that when somebody does call, and we know this, they're frantic. They're in that crisis mode. They're talking a mile a minute. Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, you've got to help me, you've got to help me. How do you sort that out with someone who is truly facing eviction, domestic violence, et cetera, fear for their children? What's going to happen? Am I going to be out on the street? And law is very detailed, very specific, very, case-oriented. How do you help a person that's sitting in front of you when you have got to go into action with your legal briefs and everything else, and also tell that person sometimes that they do not have a case?
And I'll let Shefali also answer it, because I think every attorney handles the situation a little differently, but what I love about our office is that sometimes when that client comes in, it's the first time she or he has had time, or anybody that has actually listened to them. They're running around. A lot of our low-income folks are running from one office to, you know, social services, Section 8, this, you know. And they're just so
looking
confused.
Under every rock.
Right, looking for help. And nobody, they feel nobody listens to them. And I think, for me, one of the most important things is sometimes I just let people talk, because they haven't really had that opportunity, because even at, like, if they're going to social services, social service workers are overwhelmed. They don't have a lot of time. So we really try to allocate enough time to hear the problem, because quite frankly, Susan, a lot of times there's multiple issues coming in. Rarely, as you can see from your folks, like, somebody comes in to me, I handle the family issues. Somebody comes in with a domestic violence issue, but they also have a housing issue or a public benefit issue. So if we don't listen to them, we don't know that there's multiple needs going on. So that's something I think it's so important for people to hear them. And sometimes when we can help them, and as you said, sometimes their story is really tragic or sad, but the law does not provide a remedy to their situation, we try to be gentle about that and explain what may be available to them. I think sometimes just that opportunity that somebody listened to them and gave them some direction is something that makes our clients feel good.
So we often have, I use this example because listening is important. They come for one challenge, and when you're listening, you realize that this is a multiple challenged situation. I use the example of utility assistance. We get calls all day long for utility assistance, and clearly that is the immediate need. But what we always say is, are you underemployed? Are you unemployed? What's going to prevent this from happening next month? What is the sustainability? If we get you out of this jam today, really let's look at the broader picture. And oftentimes people are pleading their case, pun intended, and they need that immediate assistance, but really need to look at the broader picture so that they can, in fact, not have that challenge reoccur again. So it is really important. You know, we find at Helpline that the listening is important. And I think, too, with your field, people are always, you know, we hear, you know, a litigious society or what have you. But people are waiting for you guys to come in as, you know, riding that horse, you know, in the armor to victory, that if I only had a good lawyer. And that must be tough, living with that every day.
No, it definitely is. I mean, like Elisa said, you know, of course, there's a multitude of problems that each client brings with them. And, you know, sometimes they go beyond pure legal solutions. There are lifestyle changes or financial issues that kind of go beyond our scope. So, you know, we try our best to set them up with different resources or at least refer them. I mean, of course, Helpline, as I'm sure you know, we've referred people to all
Absolutely.
The time. Social services, and there's also Family Promise, Family Success. So we try to kind of provide holistic guidance. We can't always do it for them. You know, like, we are limited to legal services, but I think that's one of the things that also helps calm them down. Of course, absolutely, the listening is the most important thing, that validation, the empathy. But then there is, we kind of give them a plan, some guidance, just something to give them a little bit more certainty than when they walked in there to our office. And I think that is maybe what the whole, you know, lawyer solving all of our problems image comes from, you know.
It's saying.
Yeah, right. I mean, again,
that's
it's
why we're called counselors.
Counselors, right, or advocates, right, something that's
exactly.
More than just filing briefs or being in court. It's coming up with, you know, broad solutions and guidance. So, like I said, sometimes it's, even though it's not really within our scope, you might say something like, to a gentleman, I had a client where, you know, he was very intent on paying his credit card bills first, more so than paying his own rent. And it just, he didn't even honestly think about, wait a minute, there's really no immediate harm if I don't pay my credit card bill, but there's an immediate harm if I don't pay my rent. And honestly, it just took someone, an outsider, you know, us to just say, you know, maybe you should rethink your priorities. And immediately he was like, oh my God, I don't know. I didn't even think about that. Of course I should be paying my rent first. And so it's sometimes it's just that guidance, that common sense, that pragmatism. They don't have that in their lives. And that sometimes.
And they're also caught up in the moment.
And they're
not,
right.
thinking straight.
Strategically,
yes,
or right,
exactly.
In broad picture. So sometimes, yeah, we wear that hat of kind of life counselor or, like you said, broader advocate. I mean, we can't obviously do extensive services in that area, but we certainly can give them that kind of guidance that I think also makes them feel better about their problem.
And again, from personal experience under the umbrella of Helpline and also working with some of the other organizations that you mentioned, you guys are at the table. You know, we're just not handing off here, go get your legal advice over there. We see it every day that you do, in fact, listen, that you do, in fact, look for that broader picture, a greater plan, even when you can't help someone. And you are at the meetings, and I say this all the time on the radio show, I don't think people realize how many times we go to these committee meetings, how many times we're part of a council in county government and so forth. One, to learn about the other organizations, but to really to firm up that collaboration and that partnership with the other organizations so that when we have to tell somebody this is, you know, not a legal matter or whatever, you're sitting right there and you're explaining it from that point of view. We all have our niche. We all have our expertise. But, we probably see each other. I know that Shefali and I said we talk at least once a week, but we probably see each other at all these different meetings, and that helps people in our county. And I don't think people realize the partnerships. We're always hearing about duplication of services and everything else, and yet if people saw us in action together and what a difference that we can make, when in fact we can't give that resource, but we can tap the shoulder of a colleague in the community who might be able to pick up the baton and go with it. Yeah, so you
folks
guys
in
are great.
The community are really important, the agencies, because if people come to you and they have a legal problem, you can refer them to us because it's something that you know we may be able to help them with. So you're helping to identify issues for them that they might not even realize they have. You know, whether I know we've spoken on housing issues, on family issues, and it's really important to work in conjunction with other agencies in the area. So just what I was saying before, where a lot of our clients are kind of just being sent to many different places, it reduces that stress for people.
Absolutely.
They're not just like hopping from place to place, which a lot of poor low-income people spend a lot of time just being referred from one place to another. And if we're working all together, that cuts down on time for our clients, you know, and frustration, which is huge.
And it's more efficient for us as well. I do have to give a shout out to Elisa because I can give another example for Shefali as well, but I guess it was last year I had a client and we were at the edge. We always seem to be on the precipice of falling over. And you walked out of a conference to give us advice of what we should do next. And I will never forget that. I just felt, you know, and again, with the nonprofits, we need to feel we're not alone, not just the clients, because we are trying, and I think you could hear it in Shefali's voice when she talks about the clients and that relationship and going above and beyond what your personal expertise is. The nonprofits, we're sometimes banging our head against the wall, too, because we truly want to help. And so I will never forget that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought that
was nice. Yeah, it's nice. It's always, I always say, I appreciate thank yous because, you know, it's always, you know, we're free service for folks. I don't know if that was absolutely clear, but, it's just nice, you know, when we get a thank you once in a while, it's nice to hear it.
Exactly.
You know, we work really hard and we work long hours and we really, really care about what we do. And I was just saying this to Shefali recently, is that if not for legal services, many of our clients would be homeless, would
Absolutely.
Be victims of domestic violence, would, you know, and we can give, you know, examples without names, obviously, of recent things that we've done. But what I find is our clients often, if they go to court alone, and again, we can't represent every person because of our limited resources, but many times when folks go to court without an attorney, they feel helpless, vulnerable. The other side may have counsel, or they just feel like, you know, I don't know, I came in, I didn't know what I was doing, and I agreed to sign this order, this consent order. And then
it's scary.
It's, and, you know, and as Shefali will say, like, when you go to landlord-tenant court, Shefali, you're the only tenant attorney there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, really, it's completely asymmetric. You've got every landlord, almost every landlord, has some kind of attorney, and if, even if they don't, they're still in a position of power because they're the, you know, they're the ones doing the evicting. And I'm really the only one for just a regular residential tenant. I mean, if there's corporate cases, maybe there's attorneys, but for the most part, for just our type of client base, I'm the only one there.
Well, I do have to say too, this is your shout out, Shefali, because I have to be equal. I have to be fair.
I appreciate that.
Elisa said that you guys work long hours, and I personally know that. You know, helpline's 24/7. We have to work 24/7. You choose to, and there have been evenings of emails going back and forth between me and Shefali, and certainly phone calls going back with me, and it's you know, how can we solve this? And I do want to talk about how to, for folks, apply. I'm going to take a short break because obviously people who are listening, and I also want to say to the people who are listening that whenever we have guests on Hands Across Hunterdon, don't think, oh, I don't need this service, because you probably know someone who does. You probably have a colleague. You probably have a family member, a neighbor, et cetera. So when we come back, listen carefully about how a person can get in touch with Legal Services of Northwest Jersey and start from there. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After the special counsel Robert Mueller released his final report on the Russia probe over a month ago, there have been a lot of claims by Democrats that Attorney General William Barr is acting like the president's personal lawyer. Barr says in response to that,
we live in a hyper-partisan age where people no longer really pay attention to the substance of what's said, but as to who says it and what side they're on and what its political ramifications are. The Department of Justice is all about the law and the facts and the substance, and I'm going to make the decisions based on the law and the facts.
Barr speaking to CBS News in his first network interview since becoming AG. President Trump says he'll make a very dramatic announcement concerning the U.S. border today. Also, the administration is putting a 5% tariff on goods coming in from Mexico until the government there does something about the flow of illegal immigrants into the United States. And this is USA Radio News.
Aspen Dental is giving away free dental care to thousands of veterans, and with more on that is Dr. Anita Imawandi, a director of clinical support and charitable giving. Thanks for coming on, Doctor. This is such a great program. Why do veterans, more than any other segment of the population, have the need for low-cost or free dental care?
Thank you for asking, and thanks for having me. You know, for our veterans, our nation veterans, what we know is that for many of them, they're not eligible for dental benefits through the Veterans Administration unless they're 100% disabled, have sustained a service-related injury to their mouth, or they were a prisoner of war. And so for our doctors at Aspen Dental, they wanted to do something about that, and that was in launching the Healthy Mouth Movement to help provide that necessary care for the veterans through programs like Day of Service. For more information, they can call 1-844-277-3646, or they can log on to healthymouthmovement.com.
Welcome back to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helplines Radio Show, Friday mornings between 10 and 11 here on WHCRDB, the voice of business. I'm Susan Lax, the host of the show, and today we have been talking with Elisa Grossman, who is managing attorney of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, and Shefali Saxena, who is a staff attorney with Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, and it's just been fascinating. As well as I know both of you and work with you, it is always just fascinating to kind of get down to this nitty-gritty of the law and people in need and the differences it can make and the barriers that it faces. But one of the things that I thought from the last segment is How do folks apply? They may be listening. They may know someone. Is it just a question of, and I'll give the phone number, 908-782-7979. That's 908-782-7979. Do we just call that number? How do we apply?
Right. So, yes, you can call that number. Our intake hours are 9:30 to 3:30. And with a lunch break for
people have
for
to
our
eat?
Intake folks, they have to eat from 12:30 to 1:30. And that's Monday through Friday. So 9:30 to 3:30 with a one-hour lunch break from 12:30 to 1:30. So when the person calls, the intake worker will say, what type of problem do you have? Describe what type of problem you have. And first we want to see if it's as I spoke earlier, we have priorities, what kind of cases we take. So something like a personal injury case, we don't handle personal injury. So first thing is, do we take that kind of case? Do you have court papers? And then the intake worker will also start asking questions about income eligibility. How many people are in your household? Because the larger your household, the greater income that you can have to fit under our priorities. And at this point, we're at 250% of the federal poverty guidelines. You know, which we're actually, that's a pretty high level at this point for us. So we also get other types of funding. We have funding, it's called Ryan White funding, which is for folks with HIV, AIDS. We have Title III funding, which is for vulnerable seniors. So sometimes, again, the intake worker will say, well, we'll ask some questions, age-related questions, other questions, and see if you fit within one of our categories. There is some asset restrictions as well, but something like if you live in a house, that's not counted. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that. So, which would be different if you rented the house out and you got rent, that would be considered as part of your income.
People don't realize, I think, too, when they call the helpline, we ask some intrusive questions, and it's not to pry. Mm-hmm. It's to best fit the person with the appropriate service. So if someone calls and we're saying, how old are you, when it's not age discrimination, there are programs, as you say, with the Title III, we receive funding as well for older Americans, so 60 and above. So it's important for us to ask sometimes those questions that are deemed intrusive, but the more we know about a client, the more we're able to direct them to the appropriate resources.
Exactly. And because we are the only game in town, so to speak, for legal service assistance, and I also just want to note, we're on every court summons that you get in the state of New Jersey. In the state of New Jersey, they list every legal service office, so you know where to go for your local legal services.
But since
we are the only game in town, so to speak, if I was, for example, representing one spouse and the other came in for a divorce, let's say, and that other person may be eligible, we refer that person, we try to get that person a pro bono, the other person.
Because of the conflict of interest.
We have an independent screening person. Once we see that is an adverse party, we immediately stop the intake and it gets referred to an agency or a law firm that does our screening for us. I believe Merck was helping us with that for a while. And that other agency or law firm determines if that other person is eligible. And then we do our best to get a pro bono attorney. And a shout out for any attorneys out there who want to volunteer and get your pro bono hours, because we're always looking for...
I saw that on the website that there are volunteer opportunities for retired attorneys, law students, interns, others interested in legal service work. That is great, and people should be volunteering. But I don't think people realize that they could volunteer, you know, for legal services. So that's great. We have Ask the Attorney Night that's gone on for years, when Hundred and Hispanos was a freestanding nonprofit. And it's interesting because at the beginning, that when I started with Helpline, we had generalists, if you would. And now we have to ask, as you say, very specifically, everybody's a specialist now. So is it the family law person or is it the immigration law person and so forth? But it's interesting to know that if somebody calls up and is not eligible for your specific services, they're not getting a no. Again, they're getting a referral.
Right. And there's Legal Services of New Jersey, which is located in Edison. They have a hotline as well. So for cases that we don't handle, like we don't do immigration cases, by way of example, we will refer them to LSNJ. And they have a hotline, and they actually have a lot of good resources online as well. Or we will refer them to other agencies if it's something that's not necessarily a legal problem.
So let's have a case without obviously mentioning names. Let's take somebody through a real case that you've had from that first initial phone call to, I guess, going to court or at least resolving the situation.
Right. So I handle, we at Legal Services, because we don't have a ton of financial resources, we wear many hats. So I handle family cases, domestic violence, autonomy documents, and consumer cases, bankruptcies. So I have a lot of different types of cases. I guess just recently I'll talk about one or two consumer cases I had. I had an elderly gentleman who came in who was, I think he was in his mid to late 70s, and struggling financially. I think he was living on a farm or something, and he had gone to the hospital, and I'll leave the hospital nameless, but he had gone through the emergency room, and long and short of it is that he got billed a large amount. And he came in to me, and he was being sued. And he said, I'm just devastated. I don't know what to do. I've been a good person my whole life. So I looked at it, and the first thing I always do, as Shefali said, is there merit to his case? We don't run and file an answer to every complaint. But in this case, I realized after speaking and listening to my client that the particular plaintiff, the hospital, did not follow the correct law regarding charity care. Mm-hmm. This charity care is something you can apply for if you don't have other insurance. And there are very rigid regulations on what has to happen when someone comes through an emergency room. So, of course, he didn't know this. The layperson, what would they know? So we filed an answer. And the long and short of it was that whole case got dismissed.
Great.
And he no longer will have any worries or concerns about this large hospital debt that was going to be looming over his head at 75, 78 years old.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also want to talk about a mutual client of ours. When I first, joined Helpline, not many years ago, but it was the first time, I believe, that I met you, Elisa. We were talking in one of these committees, councils, etc., about an elderly gentleman who was homeless, who just could not, even with Section 8, etc., because of health issues, keep his apartment. And I have to say, and that must have been about 5 years or so ago, because he's been on the street for 5 years, and this year we got him into his apartment. And the first time in those 5 years, 77 years of age. And again, that collaboration, that partnership, how we stuck with this guy, through the years to make it happen, hook by crook, no matter how long it took. And while 5 years sounds terrible to us, we're dancing in the street, it's really important, and that people understand that the determination and the perseverance of following a case through, no matter how long it takes, if it's of merit and so forth. But the stumbling blocks along the way, I don't think people realize that even legally, the barriers that you face every day.
Yeah, I'll let Shefali tell us. She also wears many hats in her office, and she's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
A great, zealous advocate.
Let's take a quick break, Shefali, and then we can give you the floor, so to speak, just after this short message.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
And you are back with Hands Across Hunterdon. Hunterdon Helpline is your first call for help for 50 years for any need, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Basic human needs, shelter, mental health, senior family, youth services, employment, emergencies, suicide prevention, compassionate listening, information about transportation, and the link. We also have our own programs for successful aging, with senior citizens as well as persons with disabilities, our telephone reassurance calls, friendly visitor, literacy services, work connectivity, and so much more. Visit us on the web at www.helplinehc, that's all one word, helplinehc.org. And call us 908-782-4357. Anytime, any need, 24/7, 365 days. That's 908-782-4357. So we're back, and we have been talking to two very important people of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, Elisa Grossman, who is managing attorney, and also Shefali Saxena, who is the staff attorney of Legal Services of Northwest Jersey. If you've been listening or if you've just tuned in, to reach them to apply for services, you can call 908-782-7979. That's 908-782-7979, or visit them on the internet at www.lsnj.org/LSNWJ. And if you didn't get that, go run and get your pencil and paper. I'm saying it again. www.lsnj.org/LSNWJ. So we heard about a case that Elisa had. Shefali, tell us one of your cases, and maybe about one of the things that we get all the time is applying for disability, appealing. Yeah. This is, you know, I talked before the break about how long a case can go on for. Boy, those cases go on forever.
Yes, I was going to say this would be a good example of kind of having that patience and perseverance through a lengthy legal and bureaucratic process. So one thing we do is Social Security disability appeals. So, you know, that people can apply for Social Security disability or something called supplemental security income. Both of those are based on proving a disability to the Social Security Administration. And just as an example, we had a client, I will say, whose case started before I officially started at Legal Services. So in 2014, I started in 2015. I picked up the case from another attorney, and this went through every level of appeal and then some. So she applied at the initial level. She was denied. There's a second level of appeal called the reconsideration. She was denied. Then we applied for a hearing in front of an administrative law judge. Just so people are aware, the average wait time is about 18 to 24 months. So that's, we're talking 2 years. So we went to that hearing, and we had a really difficult judge who, you know, made some several legal errors, wouldn't actually even let us finish our testimony. It was
tough. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was a tough hearing, and this is, you know, something we've been preparing for 3 years. So we appealed. There's actually something called the Appeals Council, and that's another lengthy process, takes about a year to get a decision from them, but in only about 9% of cases, they actually remand for a new hearing when they think that the judge has made errors of law, and that's really something that an attorney can help with. I mean, at the Appeals Council level, this really isn't something that many of our clients could really do on their own, and I don't think really any layperson could do on their own. So luckily, we were one of that 9%. We got a remand. We got a new hearing. Which we, you know, again, takes another year or so, and we had that second hearing. We even had a supplemental hearing after that.
So what are we up to, 5 years?
Yeah,
now?
We're up to just about 5 years. I think she initially applied in 2013, and
it's
in 2019, we finally got our fully favorable decision and full retroactive benefits, full payment of benefits. So, you know, it
made
a
huge difference in this person's life who clearly had a disability.
Yes.
And clearly needed assistance.
Exactly. And now she has, you know, much more sustainability for herself. Before, she was relying purely on welfare assistance, which is, you know, $150, $200 a month, as some people don't even know it's that low. And now she had a much more sustainable income. And so it was a 6-year battle, but hey, we were able to get that for her.
We celebrated that one. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
I bet you did. So I rest my case. You guys do ride in on the horse with the armor. And
we try.
Sometimes.
This is why people say, you know, wow, you guys do incredible work. 6 years. 6 years to get that going. Mm-hmm. So not only did you persevere, and I'm sure the client was absolutely grateful, but I can't imagine what was going through that person's mind for those 6 years, the frustration, the angst, and not only that, they needed those resources, they needed those funds. So what was happening to them during those 6 years? Were they deteriorating even more financially? You know, were they able to meet their bills, etc.? It's amazing that a person could even stay with you, to have the mental capacity to just, okay, I'm going to stick this out without getting so frustrated and so upset and throwing in the towel. And we do see that a lot with many of our clients who just give up and say, it ain't happening, and I'm exhausted from it.
It is a frustrating process. The Social Security disability process is extraordinarily long. I mean, it's a few years from the time if you apply and you get denied, and it's just, it goes on and on, and it's and now a lot of the hearings, I don't do those, Shefali does, but they're not even, you don't even have a judge before you when you're arguing your case. They do it via video conference. Is that right?
Several cases, yeah, are done that way.
Wow.
So the people don't even have the opportunity to appear directly before the judge. It's done via video, and
right,
you have to testify before a video judge.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
that could be a little bit disconcerting, I would say.
Absolutely. And, you know, and in terms of effectiveness of testimony, you know, there's a lot to be said for being in person and seeing someone physically and
observing. It's a human story.
It's a human story. There's body language and things that get lost in translation, I think, through video. But, you know, it is also, in Social Security's defense, if I were to say, it's their way of making the hearings take place more quickly. So by getting judges from Boston, Chicago, you know, I think Puerto Rico, I think we've, you know, some colleagues of mine have had, it gets the hearing scheduled faster. So they're trying to balance everything, but yeah.
But by faster, is it still like
it's still
a
pretty
half?
Much, a, yeah, about an 18-month wait. So it's not a whole lot of difference, but, that's their attempt at trying to remedy that problem. But, yeah, it is. It's tough. I mean, again, preserving their dignity and their everything that they've gone through, and then you have this hearing which is in front of a video and you get 1 hour to tell the last 6 years of your life while you're waiting. It's tough, and I think that's why the attorney-client relationship too kind of helps support them throughout the years and keeps them going and gives them hope that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
And what the other important thing about Social Security Disability or SSI is that the more medical documentation that you have to prove your case, the better.
Right.
And a lot of times, you know, it's difficult for clients to access those records, so we have to pay to get those records.
Right.
But it's a lot of work, and sometimes it's difficult just because, you know, we don't know what doctors we're looking for.
Right.
People move on.
And facilities, I mean, you'd be surprised. They don't always cooperate. They don't always listen. They give you different reasons that they can't give you one thing or another. So, yeah, it definitely, I think we've been able to help on that front as well.
Well, we have just a few more seconds left. But something that you kept bringing up, Elisa, is funding. Any message out there for people who are interested? You know, we have people who are sitting in a corporate environment right now, or individuals,
yeah,
et cetera.
Well,
this is a huge, nuts and bolts need of organizations like yours that are doing incredible work. So if people want to donate, sponsor, provide a grant, et cetera, what can they do?
Right. Well, if they're interested, our director sits in our Somerville office. Her name is Diane Smith, and they can contact her. I don't think I have that number handy. It's probably on one of our, but they could certainly call our Huntington number, and we would connect that person with Diane Smith. Any donations are always welcome, because we certainly can use them in addition to our grants, which, as you said, Susan, it depends on the year. Sometimes it's a very lean year, and sometimes it's a better year. And we look out almost 3 years on our budget to try to see how can we work, how can we sustain salaries and expenses. So that's basically, we'll accept what we can get.
Well, we appreciate having both of you on. And if you need to reach out to Legal Services of Northwest Jersey, here's the phone number one more time, 908-782-7979. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Susan.
And I hope you come back.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Attorney General talks about the now former special counsel in the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller. And we get the story from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
He could have reached a decision as to whether it was criminal activity, but he had his reasons for not doing it, which he explained. And I'm not going to, you know, argue about those reasons.
Attorney General William Barr sitting down with CBS News and says the former special counsel, Robert Mueller, could have and should have reached a decision on obstruction in the two-year Russia investigation.
But when he didn't make a decision, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, and I felt it was necessary for us, as the heads of the department, to reach that decision.
Louisiana's Democratic governor has signed a strict abortion ban into law prohibiting abortions once a fetal heartbeat's detected. Police reportedly at the scene of a shooting at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. No further details available. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry. Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents.
And Doug. Is that your pet Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an Emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I won't
consider. So this is just a clever...